Hello, everybody. Mariner here, and welcome to Net That Hall on Game Week 21, or nearly at Game Week 21. We still have the inevitable Haaland blank to look forward to tomorrow night. Gabe, how are you feeling this game week, sir?
You know, I feel fine. I was surprised to check live FPL today and realize that I'm on a green arrow despite the captain blank. So, but I don't think I have I probably don't have as many doublers as some other people do. So it'll probably turn to a red arrow, but I don't know. I'm not too bothered. And I really do think, I mean, we saw how Spurs just got destroyed up the middle, right? I mean, that's what Haaland has. And hopefully KDB, you may not be aware of this, Mariner, but KDB was absent in practice in training today. So I know this leads us into some of the preamble of the show but yeah, I thought I'd wait till we went live on air to drop that one on you.
You utter bastard. You just dropped that one on me. I can't believe it. Oh man. Oh God. Oh well, anyway, that's just life, right? I'm afraid that's just life. But that's not going to help the distribution for Haaland, surely.
Look, I don't know. Who knows what the effect of that? I mean, losing KDB isn't, we don't even know if he's out, right? We just know that maybe, according to one report somewhere, that's pretty credible, he wasn't in training. So let's just take it one step at a time.
Fair enough. Anyway, right, let's get on with this. But first, a little Mariner rant. Just when you think things are going well for yourself, Gabe, just wait before you tweet. I tweeted how well and how happy I was that Bueno got 6 points because I played him over White. And then what happened? White got 8. And I did actually learn from my mistakes because I was hovering over the send button on Twitter with Mitrovic. And then I really should stop swearing. Our friend, Mr. Mitrovic, decided to do what he did. And I think that cost me about 80,000 in rank points, probably. Probably those two decisions, probably around 80,000 points. But anyway, there we go. That's that. Now then, here's another point.
But he's missed 3 pens this season, right?
Ah, yes. He's going to get sold soon. I might even bet on Tony.
I see what you did there.
But here's my other point, Gabe. What's all this bullshit on Twitter about content creators? I just want to have a quick little 1 minute discussion on this. I always thought that content creators were people who created for entertainment, for their own fun, for their own hobby. And if you come with us, then great. That's certainly the way we play it in Net That Hall, right? But we don't spoon feed. So how come a prominent snooker player decides to tweet to our mate, Focal, right? And have a little bit of a go about this triple captain? Honestly, this is what I've got to say about this. Get back and go and play with your fucking balls, boy, because I ain't interested in bullshit like that. That's what I'm saying, and that's my swearing for the day. Because frankly, if you're a content creator, if people want to follow you, more fool them. Especially me this season. You followed me last year, you did all right, but you won't do any good this year, probably. Just look what's happening to me.
You're having a little resurgence.
It is what it is, right? It's the game. It's a game.
I mean, yeah, I think that moment really, for me, there were two great things about that moment. One was going through and reading all of the response from the FPL community in support of Oscar, of FPL Focal. Mm-hmm. And some of the responses were witty and biting, and they were a real pleasure to read through. I went and so I enjoyed that, number one. And then number two, I mean, it's just, this is like an automaton complaining about its programming. Where like it's like programmed to follow a certain thing to like not make its own decisions, And then when things go wrong, it always has an excuse. You know, that there's no conversation to be had with that. You just have to like.
No, I agree. But I mean, look, maybe getting a return tomorrow might cushion the blow.
That
there's the cue for the next thing.
that morning pit stop did you well. You are sharp this morning, my friend.
I've got all you lot in my pocket this week. Right, anyway, let's keep going. Dear me, I'm going to try and put as many things about snooker in for the rest of the show. Right, that's basically what it is. FPL philosophy of the week, Gabe. You can't play snooker on the toilet. That's my philosophy.
No, but you can't play with your balls. So the FPL philosophy for moving right along from that one. The FPL philosophy for the week, game week 21. It comes to us from in honor of our good friend Nima, who again isn't able to be with us here on the show this week. I thought I'd bring out a quite famous Persian philosopher, and by the name of Ibn Sina. Pardon me?
Is the one. Sorry, I didn't even know there was a Persian philosopher, let alone.
Is there one? Yeah. There are many. No idea. This is maybe the third Persian philosopher I quote here in FPL philosophy. So, yeah, trying to get all around the world and have some good representation. So, he said, "The world is not the material it is made of, but the spirit that animates it." And the reason I this quote stood out to me this week is because we have assets like Salah, for example. That the material, where I think of like the name is the material. It's like the brand Salah. Salah can't be a bad pick, but the spirit that animates it is defunct. There's like Liverpool are a mess. Salah is a mess. There are several like premium assets that are a mess, and it's these. It's the Kaoru Mitomas of the world, right? That are igniting and inspiring us because they're the ones with the life. They are animated. And price be fucking damned, if you have 8 million in the bank, that is irrelevant because you have the animated players. They just happen to be cheap. So that's what I'm
saying. I've got all this money in the bank. We'll spend it then. But there's no one to spend it on. Well, that's fucking FPL right now, because there is no one you can spend your money on, right?
Right.
None. Exactly. Not even Hung Min Son. Look. Hello, Mike. I need to chalk me cue. That's the wrong one. It moved up. There we go. Hello. Yes, I'm pleased I didn't go for Son either.
Same here. I threatened you that I would, but no.
I didn't bring it up last week, but I'm going to bring it up this week. I the saltier Hungman, our friend Jurgen Klopp is getting, the better. I am laughing every more and more and more. It's very funny. It's a bit of salt on your steak there. Did you hear the rant about replays? Small clubs this, small clubs that. We didn't need a replay. Yeah, enjoy your replay, Jurgen.
Yeah, no, I think Klopp is one of the big problems with Liverpool this season. Like the fact that he didn't play who is it, the left winger Carvalho or Vieira on the left wing. I think he's made some tactical mistakes that I think are big problems. So
yeah. Anyway, we're going to make some tactical mistakes if we don't get going. We're 10 minutes in.
Okay, let's go.
Shall we go? Right, matchups. You do the usual thing. Before you do that, though, should we just very quickly say hello to a few people in the chat and just get the usual rubbish out of the way?
Yeah, so in the chat we have joining us today, we have Comb Bugler, Catherine A., Mike Halpin, Akshay, nice to see all of you. Steve Sedman's in the chat as well, and I think that's it. Well, there are there are a few other people. We have a total of 17 people. Do give us a like if you are enjoying this so far. We promise. Just give us a like now because it's all downhill from here.
Oh, what a game to start with. Liverpool against Chelsea. This is going to be a very interesting game, actually. I've got a funny feeling. But first things first, we've got a little bit of an announcement, haven't we, with respect to the data, because your mate Mariner has been burning the midnight oil, probably because the baby's not been asleep, quite frankly, is the reason why I've been awake. But anyway, there we go. We've managed to finally update the data. Do you want to explain?
Mariner got busy with the numbers here, and now we have net XG has been updated, and the shots goal predictor model has been updated to include home and away. Now we also kept the average just to see for comparison, because I thought I was surprised by quite a few of these, and it's just interesting to see sometimes both teams will be worse or both teams will be better. Like one team's better away, one team's better at home. And so it's interesting to see. And the other thing that, you know, I want to pay close attention to is how the home away net XG compares with the with your FDR Mariner, looking at those comparisons. And now that home and away is factored into both, I wonder, most of the discrepancy is probably in the goalkeeper. Right. And so that would be interesting to just kind of see from that perspective. Let's get right into it.
I think the other thing is it might be some weightings as well. I think we maybe weight things slightly differently as well. So I think that'll be the two main key differences. Right. Anyway, so Liverpool against Chelsea. Right. And here's the first interesting point. As much as I've just been slagging Klopp off, Chelsea are so bad away from home right now and have been battered on numerous occasions, similarly like Liverpool, quite frankly, that it's a very positive fixture difficulty for the Liverpool, 3.3. Defensively, not too bad for Liverpool. That shows how bad Chelsea have been, quite frankly. Liverpool create tons of chances. At home, they're fine. I'm not worried about them this week. But look at the zones. They are bloody awful. And this is the first time I've really seen this. Liverpool are completely off the boil. There is just this home Anfield factor, I think, doing it for the fixture difficulty, quite frankly. You know, the ball being sucked towards the cop, so to speak. The trouble is it's been sucked into the cop rather than into the goal. And also the heading matchups are actually pretty good for Liverpool as well at 3.3. Gabe, what's your side saying?
A little more demure over here, right? We're looking at, if we're comparing the average versus home away, look at Liverpool, average 1.6 versus home away 1.4. So that's quite interesting. And while Chelsea, obviously, they drop. So Liverpool attack, they're looking at this as worse at home. But I wonder if that's Chelsea's defense that's maybe better away. Maybe they sit in deeper or something like that, more in a shallow way, because the matchups are, factored into that. So that'd be something to pick apart in the metrics there. But, I mean, this, you know, the net XG, I think, doesn't see it as a high scoring game, but sees goals. I think if we look at the shots goal predictors, are like quite high percentage, 29%, two goals. And if you look at it, it's like two or more goals. It's quite a high percentage. What is it? 29%, 47%, 57% chance of two or more goals is quite high for Liverpool. Yeah.
When was the last time you went into a Liverpool game and you didn't own any assets and you weren't worried about them? I can't remember.
I can't remember either. I'm sure James Milner was starting though.
Shots models. What's with that?
Shots models. So let's see if average versus home away Liverpool in the shots model is it's exactly the same, which is interesting. I didn't So the home away versus average for the shots on target. The shots on target is just home, but I don't think that a shot on target would differ like home and away. I think there's probably not much difference there. So probably not even worth looking at.
Right.
But notice. I mean, it's almost the same for Chelsea as well. Like they're quite similar. So I don't know. I could see this game being like a 2-1 Liverpool or something like that.
Yeah, very interesting. I mean, the FDR does suggest goals for Liverpool. It probably, maybe. I mean, if I was pulling a number out of a hat here, I would go with Liverpool to win 2-0 here. I think they could even keep a clean sheet against Chelsea. Maybe not 2-1.
Even Chelsea at 0.7, positive maybe, point.
Yeah.
Slightly 0.7.
And well, actually, what the hell am I on about? I need another coffee. I don't know about a clean sheet.
Right.
I think 2-1, but I think Liverpool might get the edge. I think Liverpool can get the edge. Yeah. I think Potter could be in even more trouble come this week. But that said, it seems like they're going to stick with him, which if that's the case, that's fine. You know, could be worse. Could be a Scunthorpe fan. disgusting. Absolutely. Lower league football right now is a disgrace. The ownership of teams in these lower leagues is absolutely outrageously bad in many senses. How many more teams are going to go to the dogs because of assholes owning them? I mean, it's horrible. Read up on it. If you Scunthorpe are our biggest rivals, or used to be our biggest rivals at Grimsby. You know, they celebrated us getting relegated out of the league. We celebrated them getting relegated out of the league. But I'll tell you what, I don't celebrate what they're going through right now with a massive tax bill and this, that, and the other. I feel very, very sorry for them. Have a read of it. Go and read up on them about how bad Scunthorpe's owner has. Gambling debts of millions. Honestly, the bloke's an absolute asshole. Right, anyway, enough said. That's another little rant. I just want to get that in because I think sometimes, and because we've got an international audience, right, sometimes I don't think people realise what's going on further down in the football pyramid. Go and read about it. Just read how bad it is. It's awful.
For sure.
Right. I know you like that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I do love that stuff from football, like everywhere, like any division, any country. It's important to know what's going on.
Absolutely. Anyway, that's enough said. But yeah, hopefully Scunthorpe get out of this mess. I really wish hope for the best for them.
So just quickly to put a pin on the previous matchup there, Mariner. Which players would you be looking at? Do you think in Liverpool Chelsea? Obviously, we don't own any Chelsea attacking players, so we can skip that.
Oh, okay.
But in terms of Liverpool, like those with Salah, do you like Salah in this matchup?
No, I don't like anyone.
Hmm. But,
look, I think that you cannot not think that Salah, he may not get. I mean, we don't know enough about how Gakpo is going to play, how he's going to fit in yet. He would be a gamble in my view. He might be absolutely fine. I'm sure he will become a decent asset in time. I just think at this moment in time, Liverpool are a bit all over the place. I don't think you can really judge. I don't think you can really judge them at this moment in time. And therefore, Salah's that lowly owned. We don't have to bust ourselves going across to him, even with that fixture difficulty. I wouldn't be bringing him back in right now.
So I have him, and it doesn't feel good to have him. I want to get rid of him, but it makes more sense for me to roll this week. But I just don't want him. I want Mitoma.
Have 8 million in the bank. Let it burn a hole in your pocket.
And
right on cue, we need to move on. Sorry. Yeah. more snooker things. You're right. Anyway, Bournemouth against Forest. Well, we haven't got many assets in this game, so we're not going to stick on this very long. But I think it's always worth just looking at what the numbers say.
Yeah.
Basically, Bournemouth really likes Bournemouth at home. On the net, well, on the net XG, certainly your side of things, you're very positive on Bournemouth, I suppose.
Yeah, look at the shots on target goal predictor. 81% chance Forest has zero goals, 19% chance one goal, and 0% chance.
To such an extent, it broke the calculator. I couldn't get it to put 0% in. That's why there's some hashes there.
That, yeah. That... That's crazy. 81% chance clean sheet for Bournemouth is just hilarious.
Yes, there we go. But you know what? Forest are actually turning a corner. Mind you, it was Leicester, let's face it. But I'm pleased that Forest are actually starting to dig themselves. Hell, they might even stay up. There's some real shit in the bottom of that league right now. So, but Forest away from home are bad.
Bad. That's the thing. They're so
bad. They're bad. Is Solanke injured? I think he was out, wasn't he?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Nah, Ferguson's a better third option now. Sure. But although we'll go on to that in a bit. Right. And we're on that now. Leicester against Brighton. Okay. Yeah. Fixture difficulty. Pretty neutral. Zonals, as always, slightly better for Brighton. Slightly better. But not massively better for Brighton's left as well. Headers, nothing in it. Not a lot in my numbers, Gabe, to really support an awful lot of anything here. NetXG, though, you've got Brighton with quite a big green number. And having the fact that I've actually seen Brighton's numbers out further as well, Brighton are actually treated quite well by all our models going forwards. What's your take?
Well, I mean, really quickly, I think who was a Combogler in the chat did mention Gibbs White. And Gibbs White is playing a little bit. He's playing kind of out of position these days. And if he can remain that, I think Gibbs White could be an interesting asset there. So good shout for Gibbs White. So someone for the watch list. But in this matchup, notice how the home away split for NetXG. Like normally we would just have that image on the left with a 1.86 for Brighton and 1.39 for Leicester. But now with the home away, that drops to 1.31 for Brighton and 1.39 for Leicester, making it quite neutral, much like yours. Much more similar to your FDR Mariner.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's really interesting. And when you have a couple models kind of built differently, kind of confirming, you know, validating each other, I think that's important to note. So maybe a more muted affair than we would normally anticipate from Brighton, especially since the restart. Or maybe Brendan Rodgers is shit and Leicester is just shit and Brighton will just keep coming. And they've produced XG and produced numbers against everybody, against the biggest team. So that could happen as well. And I would kind of bet on the latter. And the reasoning I would give myself to bet on that latter is in the shots models, because I know Roberto De Zerbi is going to set them up to you know, if you look at the average shot since he's come in, it's ridiculous. I think they're close to 17. I can bring it up. They're probably one of the highest shots per game. So for that reason, I do like Brighton quite a bit here.
I tend to agree with you. I've got a question. I've got a question for everybody. You know, because I need some help because I'm a content creator. And, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. So who do I play this week, Ward or Kepa? That's an interesting one this week, because do you know what? I look at this and I see Brighton with only a slightly positive fixture difficulty. Leicester are better at home. Yeah. They're still bad. Don't get me wrong. I think I'm going to play Kepa because I think I'm going to go for the saves and hope. And you know, but the trouble is, I'm not quite sure. I can see maybe three or four points for Kepa, perhaps if Liverpool decide to have a load of, you know, have a load of shots. And
so can I make the same argument, the saves argument, but I would make it for Ward.
Because yeah, I know what you're going to say. Small chances.
It's look at the shots goal predictor. Like it's higher than it, when the shots goal predictor is greener than the FDR.
Yeah.
Then it means that they take more shots than they kind of produce from it. So there will be more saves. Right. So it's kind of like one way to like combine all the things to read them. I'm starting Ward in that situation.
Ward myself. We've got Steve with Kepa, FPL Sandwich with Kepa, Danish with Kepa, Akshay. I think Ward might be the pick. Akshay's with you, mate. It feels mad to say you're following Gabe, Akshay. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it is mad.
I mean, look, I can see. Yeah, I don't know. I quite like Kepa for saves. I mean, again, he got a load of points. This I can't see them keeping a clean sheet. That's the problem. Maybe I can just, I might just actually look at the clean sheet odds and actually go with that. Mm. Oddly enough, I might ignore everything else and just go with the odds. Okay, that's that one. Just very quickly on Brighton, assets. Who are we hot on right now? Do you see a world where you need to get 10 million in the bank and go from Mitrovic to Ferguson?
I mean, not need, but you may want to.
No, I'm thinking about Andreas going upwards. I'm thinking about going to five across midfield. I'm thinking about taking Andreas even as far up to Bruno Fernandes. I can do it. I can do it because I sold Cancelo, right? So that could have gone horribly wrong as well, but it didn't. I'm not sure. I'm just wondering whether five across midfield with someone like Ferguson as a sub might be an option. His numbers are fabulous. The only thing is, Welbeck came back in, scored. So are we likely to see his minutes get affected a little bit? I don't know. But I do like the look of him.
There are so many midfielders. I think midfield five is kind of not necessary, but a good way to go. Let's put it that way. It's a good way to go because there are just so many options. I don't want to be without.
The other option is somebody, and to be honest with you, I think Fernandes would be a bit of a, it could be done, but it'd be a bit of a stretch, but it would still be done. The other option is to just go from Andreas to Odegaard, and that is a move I really like.
That's a number.
I really like that move. And I think that's probably more likely the move for me. Maybe not this week, but you know, weeks to come. But yeah.
Long-term midfield, Martinelli, Odegaard, Mitoma. Who else is in there? Rashford, right?
And then a more premium, someone, whoever that's going to be. So that's only for structure. And I think you could probably go with Bruno Fernandes, possibly. There we go. There's another option. I noticed I've left KDB out again. Anyway, not now. We need him for the moment if he's fit, because we've got another double game week for him to hopefully start getting some returns for us. All right, that's Leicester, Brighton, Southampton, Villa. Villa are starting to come back onto the picture with respect to results, if nothing else. But as are Southampton, actually. Fixture difficulty says nothing. Quite like Southampton a little bit more. Zonal's nothing. Headed matchups, not a lot. Not a lot for me to say here, quite frankly. I don't think I'll be investing in any of these assets anytime soon.
Yeah, Villa have quite the precipitous drop away, don't they? As far as NetXG is concerned, they go 1.84 average to 1.6 NetXG value away. Southampton are a little bit more positive, although pretty negligible, from 1.29 to 1.35 when they're doing when they're at home. And then the one thing also that drops off is, like, the one thing Aston Villa had going for them is the shots, right? The average shots predictor, and it's all green there. 21%. Look, you're looking at 27% chance of two goals, 40% chance of two or three, 45% chance of two or more goals, and then it drops away in the home and away when it drops a 20% chance of two goals away to Southampton. So again, not a lot of, don't expect a lot of production in this. I mean, you would expect Aston Villa to win it just because they have the better manager and the better players, but from an FPL perspective, there's nothing that stands out, is there?
No, I agree. Let's keep going. I don't think there's anything really to speak about. I mean, there's no reason to watch this game, as a FPL teacher says. I agree.
No FPL player would be watching.
And there's another one. West Ham against Everton. The battle at the bottom of the league. Dear me.
There we go. No, I found something.
Have you
headed matchups for West Ham?
Oh, there we go. Let's go out and buy someone just to get
by Craig Dawson.
There's nothing there, is there? There's just nothing there. No, fixability is slightly positive to West Ham. Zonal's not massive, all little bits of, you know.
How about we can say, look, if you're a West Ham or Everton fan and you want some, you know, some info on this match, just reach out to us and we'll respond.
I think so, but I don't think we really need to discuss it. Shall we keep going?
Yep.
Okay, good. Right. Now we can discuss one. Crystal Palace against Newcastle. Let's discuss this one. Newcastle's fixture difficulty away from home, plus 0.9 for attack, plus 0.9 for defence. Those numbers are not as good as I possibly expected them to be. I thought they'd be slightly better. I think there is maybe still that undertone that Newcastle, possibly away from home, are not as good. Well, I think are not as good as at home. But that said, I think Newcastle are the real deal. I think my numbers are possibly underestimating them this week. Zonals, however, offer nothing, which might tell us why. It may be they have to be clinical. And at the moment, I noticed the other day, they seem not to be. Oddly enough, they seem to be missing chances all of a sudden. And that worries me, given the fact that the Zonals don't really suggest there's going to be an awful lot of chances created. I have a decision to make on Almiron this week. Or in the next week or two. I've clearly broken him since I brought him in. Are we seeing a turn on that? And is it time to go someone like Almiron to Odegaard? Do you know what I mean? It's going to be one of those. I know it's and FPL Sandwich, good man. Thanks for pointing this out. I am so detached from FPL right now, given so much going on in my life. I'm not taking any Fulham assets out yet because there's likely to get a blank in game week 25, which is a blank. Good point. That's a very, very good point. And I think it's something that we do need to consider. But I haven't even thought about my chip strategy yet. I'm not even giving it a thought, apart from binning me triple captain because I wanted to get rid of it. Because I thought, like you eventually talked me into this idea of Haaland might be injured. So that was the reason why I went with it. But yeah, worry you with Newcastle. I've sort of like disappeared off on a tangent as normal. But worry you with Newcastle on the net XG side of things.
Yeah, I mean, slightly more difficult matchup away than the average, but not by much. You know, they're still creating a lot and getting shots off. But like you said, their finishing has certainly, the quality of their finishing has certainly dropped. I think the number of shots are still there, but I think that's evidenced here. I don't know, the shots on target goal predictor still looks quite favorable, even though it is a drop off obviously from the, I'm comparing it with the average, right? So if we look at three or more, we're looking at 13% for shots on target versus 27% for just the regular shots. So I think we've seen their finishing diminish, and I've seen them drop off just like from an attacking perspective as a team. And I wonder if they're transitioning to this kind of winter middle part of the season where they're more defensively oriented, you know, they're more pragmatic in their approach. And they're less flying like they have been. And so are their stats going to begin to change as well?
Yeah, could it be the fact that they're actually getting a nosebleed where they are in the league and actually thinking, oh, crikey, you know, we're actually in it here. We're actually in with a chance of getting to the Champions League. And all of a sudden, instead of playing with that freedom and abandon, you start thinking a little bit more. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd be interested to know where a footballer's philosophy of things comes during a game, and a game factor. Question, Gabe, FPL Sandwich, how does Bruno G's injury affect Almiron? You're the coach. You know Newcastle probably better than me. I'm sure we've got people who know a lot more about Newcastle than you. But what's your perspective?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal. Bruno G, what Bruno G does is he's responsible for switching the point of attack quite quickly, right? So when they jam it into a corner, for example, on Trippier's side on the right side, then he's like the safety valve, and they like bring it back to Bruno, and it's quickly on the other side. And that's why, you know, you've seen like Joelinton be productive because of those balls that he's able to, like, he just pulls the strings. He's the puppeteer. And without that, I would imagine they could play more counterattack, right? It could go more just straight, like sit in a shell a little bit, go straight out the wings, and then kind of like diagonal curling balls into maybe Isak runs and Callum Wilson runs and stuff like that. So it could be a little bit of a change in style. Instead of going through the middle there, just go wide more immediately.
Yeah, and so Maximin's fit again. Oh, well, for a while before his leg falls off again. So he's
Same.
fit. Isak's coming back now, obviously going to be brought back in slowly and scored. Callum Wilson's doing Callum Wilson things as usual. Yeah, it'd be an interesting one. I think you know, I don't think I'm going to do an awful lot this week. I think I'm certainly going to see how they do, how Almiron does this week. But he is now just starting to make me. I was very happy to bring him in on my wild card, I've got to be honest. But yeah, as usual, I bring someone in, as Akib said on Twitter to me in our strikers keepers group. I didn't respond to him because I was that pissed off because he blanked. Basically, so Chris, you've broken Almiron. Well, yeah, I broke a load of players this year. But anyway, there we go. That's another topic. Yeah. Okay. So, let's see. Not a lot to say about Crystal Palace. Not much at all. I'm not really interested in Crystal Palace assets at all. I don't think.
Yeah, I mean the 2.8 is nice for Trippier, the 2.8 on the right.
Yes. Yeah, but saying that, everyone
Okay.
owns him now, so it's really
Yeah.
boring. I actually think the only way you can actually get anything out of Newcastle's defence now is to double up on them. That's it. You don't get any points from Trippier. All you're doing is protecting your rank. And I think, do you know what? This is what I noticed. I looked at the EOs. Do you know what my bloody template of my team is right now? 91%. How bloody boring is that? And I'm chasing.
It's because all those people are following you because you're a content creator. They're copying you.
Newcastle defenders, question from Colm. Here we go. Trippier plus who?
I
Botman or
mean,
Sharp?
oh, it's Botman. I think the value is just there.
You don't think Sharp's got more attacking threat? He hit the post the other day.
He has some. I mean,
Yeah, he
there's no
does.
doubt he has some. But his score is a little buoyed by some early attacking returns. I think it's game week one and game week two. He got two attacking returns, maybe a free kick or something like that. So I wouldn't be. But the savings is just too obvious with Botman. And
Money's no object. Money's no object right now.
but that can change, right? Well, what if the premiums start banging? If the premiums
I
start
would go, you
banging.
know what? I reckon I'd go Shah. I reckon I'd go something different. I'd probably do that. That would be my way to try and find some form of differential in there,
Yeah,
actually.
I think going with two is differential enough. And Fabian Scherer is just, I don't think he's worth the price. But if the premiums start banging, you're going to want that 0.5 if you want to go threemium or even a fourmium at some point for small parts of the season, right?
Bloody hell, formium. Where the hell are we going to get that from? Is there such thing? Are there four? I'm not even sure there are four
Well,
anymore.
there are so many enablers that I think it could make that possible at some point.
Yeah, true, true. But I mean, look, in this world, you know, if Mitoma keeps doing what Mitoma does, you could end up with Mitoma and Andreas, and then you could do what the hell you like.
You could end up with a nomium.
Right. What's one of them? Right, let's keep going. Leeds against Brentford. Right. So Brentford are away. And Brentford have a positive fixture difficulty. That is not so common. What, I mean, I'm so detached. I'm halfway around the world as well, which doesn't help. So I don't really read the news. I still don't know what the hell's happening with Tony. He keeps scoring goals. We don't know what's happening with regard his various charges, shall we say. as far as I know, I've not seen any news. He's still playing. Tony is right up there on my algorithms. He is clinical right now. The numbers support him. 2.4 attacking fixture difficulty. Zones don't, but he doesn't need it. That's the one player who doesn't really need any zones to be able to get a return, in my opinion. He literally gets a chance and he puts it away. You know, very cool on penalties. What do your numbers suggest? I am officially at this moment in time, I can see what will happen. I'll bring Tony in and then he'll get suspended for 12 weeks. But, you know, I am quite interested in him right now.
Yeah, I mean, NetXG for Brentford drops from 1.86 average to 1.61 away here at Leeds. So that's quite a big drop. And Leeds, by contrast, really jumps up from 1.58 to 1.9 at home. Yeah. There's such a different team at home. And now, I don't know, but that is quite different from your FDR there, Marin. I'm just looking here at the expected goals prevented. So it's just checking the goalkeeper here. Melier's hasn't been as good as he was, even though he has been saving big chances. He's been allowing some as well.
Yeah. As I say, I think it's very much dependent probably on the period of time that you're looking at as well. There's all sorts of factors can affect this. I think, look, I think this is how I read this. I see goals in this game. I see goals, yeah, potentially. Mm-hmm. I think it could be quite a night. It could be quite a good game to watch. Every now and again, Brentford turn up away from home, and I think this is one of them they could. Every now and again. They don't always turn up away from home, do they? But this is one I think that they might do. I wouldn't be at all worried about my Brentford. I would play my Brentford assets this week for sure.
You have to play them against Leeds for sure. But I would actually say this is a little bit of a different one where Leeds have been playing okay. They played well against Villa and maybe were a little bit unfortunate to not get something out of that game. And,
yeah, I heard that. Marsh actually said it was their best. Did he say it was their best performance?
They were good. That was a fun game. That was a really good game. It was certainly right. Better than the Manchester Derby, okay, for fuck's sake.
Interesting. I mean,
maybe even better than the North London Derby. But that was, yeah. So I don't know. I really think Leeds at home, like having... They probably feel a little aggrieved that they didn't get something out of the previous game, and then they're playing at home. So I think they could come out quite strong here. And then while I do agree that Brentford attacking us, I mean, Tony is obvious. I think Leeds attacking assets could do well as well. I think Rodrigo could get something or someone like that.
Bamford scored, didn't they?
Yeah, he came in. He came on and scored. Yeah. I was happy for him.
He always does. He always gets something. Too early, but yeah, could there be a possibility that we might look at old Patty B before the end of the season? It could do if he stays fit and if they keep playing with a bit of an attacking prowess, then you never know. Rodrigo's still a good shout though, isn't he?
I think, yeah, but I would not be put off by a Leeds attacking assets in this one.
No. Manchester City against Wolves, right. Haaland, and we'll come on to the captaincy metric in a bit. For the first time, Haaland's numbers are coming under threat. Mm. Are we now in a situation where Manchester City are also starting to come under threat here? With Arsenal now have clear space, clear daylight. How are Manchester City going to react? Well, let's see how they react against Spurs, right? But as you say, things can change before this matchup. But yeah, I look at these numbers. They're extremely positive for Manchester City. You know, plus three for attack, 2.3 for defence. I just wish I knew which defender to own. Zones are good. Zone down the middle is good. Not great. Not as good as the Spurs game. We expect potentially... more from chances from Haaland again in the Spurs game than we do in this game. See, Wolves possibly making just basically just trying to hang on for grim death here. headed matchups are also very positive. It does scream Haaland, this game. Gabe, your numbers.
Manchester City average net XG is 1.78. Wolves average is 0.76. And then home away, Man City goes up to 2.01. And Wolves goes up as well to from 0.76 average to 1.15 away. I'd have to go back and look at their this is the last six matches, of course. Last six matches average, and then last six home, last six away. So it could be a function of who they've played, potentially. But I don't know. I do see a potential goal for Wolves. I think Wolves are on the I think they're growing in their identity and what they're trying to do. Like that, you can see the quality of their players start to come out in their gameplay. So and so I think Lopetegui has had a positive influence there. So I think Wolves, again, I don't see a clean sheet for Man City necessarily. I could see Wolves getting a goal, but, you know, this was – it's all the obvious players, right? It's De Bruyne. It's Haaland. It's the headed matchups.
Yeah.
This is the Andy Martin fixture.
Is it?
It's the when he triple captained De Bruyne. It was against Wolves, I believe.
Right. I just want to. But the only Wolves player I'm remotely interested in, by the looks of things, is Daniel Podencio, as I used to call him. His numbers are pretty good, and the thing is, if Wolves start to create, if Wolves do start to create a little bit more, his percentage goal involvement is involved in one in every two. Right now, and his expected involvement is, about 0.4 per game. Big chances, 0.4 per game, 1.47 per shots in the box at this moment. This is since game week 15. So, yeah, I mean that's data from Hub, by the way, just to give them the shout for that. Pudence might be an option. Again, another low-priced player, another one in that bracket. I mean, obviously, we'll keep an eye on them going forward, but I think Pudence is on my watch list. I can't believe I've just said Wolves players on my watch list. There we go. I actually own one. Bueno. But look how that worked.
Yeah, that's a deep said, watch list.
Enough said. Anyway, before we go anywhere further, I'm just going to just have a little bit of a break, and I'm just going to put this onto the screen because we have a content creator. What do they know? FPL Penguins in the chat, yeah. So, okay, Mr. Content Creator, hear me out. Sell KDB and Salah. It's all about March, Mitoma, Alma, and an Odegaard. Inform players from informed teams. Inform, not inform. Inform players from informed teams. Bloody content creators, what do they know? I love him, really. I'm only taking the piss as usual. You know what I'm like. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I look at this and I still see a very... I'm always a bit about structure, you know, and the thing I always worry a little bit is about needing to make sure you've got that ability to move around somewhat. I wouldn't just spend that large amount of money just for the sake of spending a large amount of money, but I do think that I can see what he's saying. At this moment in time, Salah particularly is off the boil. KDB might be at least got a return, didn't he? But if he's injured or something like that, then what? Son, we don't really like at this moment in time. You know, Manchester City's more premium assets at the 8 million bracket. We don't know who's going to start. Are we at Bruno Fernandes? I think we are. I actually think we are. That's the third time I've mentioned his name. Anyway, right.
And we haven't even gotten to United yet.
Hey, and we've not even done United yet. No, that's right. Anyway, bloody content creators. Look, here we go. Oh, here we go. Arsenal against Manchester United. Now, this is a game. Don't tell me it's the late game. Don't tell me it's on late. because I won't be able to watch it if it's on late. They always put these games on late. Pisses me off.
It's not the last game in the week. Fulham Spurs is the last one.
I don't even know what time it's on. But look, let's look at these numbers, because I think this is a game what we are very interested in as FPL players. Arsenal's fixture difficulty, positive 1.4. Defensive, positive 0.6. Not that positive. Zonals, not an awful lot. Interestingly, these zones, they really are low this week, aren't they? Have you noticed how low the number of chances are? I think a lot of this, you know, is actually teams cancelling each other, almost cancelling each other out. Yeah. I see this, oddly enough, I have a sniff of a low scoring game week. I'm not sure if you're with me on this. I feel this is, you know, if you can sniff a differential out this week, you could do very nicely, but I don't see massive scores, but that's just me. Unless City go off against Wolves, I don't see massive scores.
Which could happen. And in that vein, don't take hits. In weeks with low scores, hits can really hurt. Like if a hit is 10% of your points for the game week, that could be pretty bad.
Yes, good point. So anyway, that's what I reckon. I don't think there's an awful lot in the fixture. It does suggest Arsenal, but it will suggest Arsenal at home, because Arsenal are the real deal now. I don't care, you know, no more evil laughs, Mike. No more evil laughs from the Mariner. What's the NetXG suggesting? For now, and this is another one which is showing, I'll just point this out, I can see this straight away, Arsenal at home now, we're now starting to see the true NetXG number coming out for them as well.
Yeah. Before the work that you put into it, we would have had 1.64 for Arsenal versus 1.07 for Manchester United. And then with the home away split there, 1.96 for Arsenal and 1.08 for United. So United doesn't change too much. But Arsenal, significant improvement at home. I guess it likes Arsenal a little better than your FDR. And it's supported there by the shots models, at least. The average, interestingly, the average versus the home away are quite similar. There's no difference between those two models. And the shots on target model is a little lower than, I guess, than the shots model. But, you know, it likes 20% chance, like 1 in 5 chance of 3 goals. Yeah, 33%, 1 in 3 chance of 3 or more goals against United is still quite high, according to the shots at home there. So, but I probably wouldn't go that high. I could see Arsenal scoring. I think Arsenal could win by 2 goals, maybe 1 goal if United could get one, but I just see a 2 goal win by Arsenal.
I probably also see an Arsenal win, but I will definitely play Rashford. You can't not. He's just involved in so much.
Yeah.
These days. I also own Shaw, so I know that I'm going to be putting myself under pressure, because I've got defenders against attackers this week. And I haven't really got enough, and I've only got one transfer. So we'll have to see what's going on with this. But yeah, Arsenal assets, are we? Saka's getting returns still, more expensive. We've got Martinelli, who blanked this week. I didn't watch the game. It was the middle of the night, so I missed it. So I don't know whether Martinelli looked any good. I can't comment on that. But I own Martinelli. I'm looking at Odegaard. I think, and I own White. I think that is still a very cheap way of getting what I want from Arsenal. What about you? I see the need to own 3 because we've got a double game week coming up. So which 3?
So that's the question. I want my 3 Arsenal assets to own would be Martinelli, because I've owned him since the game started. So at 6 million, he's just like, I can't let him go at this point. He's just too good of an asset for that price that I paid. Odegaard, best player in the league so far this season. So I think he's obvious. And my third one, I think I would go for Eddie Nketiah. I thought he could have had a brace against Spurs. I thought I think every game I've seen him play, I think he can score. Even when he hasn't scored it. So I'm impressed with him.
You'd go triple attack. That's interesting.
I'd go triple attack.
I have to say that is potentially the highest risk way of doing it. Because I think the hedging bet here is to go for a defender in there, to be honest with you. And I think I would play that differently. I would go with two for that reason.
Two attackers, one defender.
Yeah. Because I just think Arsenal's ownership, I don't know what Arsenal's combined EO is for defence, but I've got a feeling if they clean and you don't have one, it doesn't matter what you've got in attack, you're actually taking pin. For everything you might gain, you end up losing something, right?
So we have 49 people in the chat. I wonder what you all think. Put like use A for attacker and D for defenders, and put like two attacker, 2A, 1D, or 1A, 2D for two attackers, one defender. Or if you would triple up, what would you do as far as our 3A. So yeah, 3A.
3A's not 3Ds.
3A's not 3Ds.
And if you put 3Ds, then you're a complete tool, by the way. So yeah, don't put 3Ds, please.
Right, so I just wonder what people think. I like the triple up on attack, but that is, I agree with you, that is the riskier way to go. You could hedge with it's quite easy to hedge with a Ben White. So.
Mike Halpin, there we go, someone who knows there, about
and
that.
He's a gunner. So
3As, yeah. I can see why people want to do what you're saying. I don't get me wrong, but I just think that I like the idea of owning a defender, and I just think. You know, I mean, again, it proved 8 points from White, you know, bonus points. Annoying that I didn't play him, but I genuinely didn't. I thought Bueno was a good shout this week. It turned out he was.
Yeah.
But yeah, 1A, 2A.
1A, 2A. So there you go.
1D, 2A. Let's leave it. We'll gather up. We'll look at the outcome at the end, because we need to go across North London. Well, actually, we want to go to West London. West London against North London. And we have the clash of the penalty missers. Harry Kane and Mitro.
No, that's not too soon for you people.
Anyway. Okay. Fulham against Spurs. Right, here we go.
Notice how Fulham...
Diction difficulty. Sorry, Gabe, do you want to come in?
I was just... Like, it struck me how Fulham's attack at NetXG drops at home.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know. I wonder if it's a function of Spurs' defense away, maybe.
Maybe look into that one a bit. But I mean, look, from my perspective, I wasn't too surprised. Fulham are, I think, virtually the worst defence in the league right now with respect to chances, which we did, which our system, I think, looks at more than anything, right? Big chances, particularly. I'd have to double check that, but my gut feeling tells me that. Spurs plus 1.9 away for attack, minus 0.1 for defence. Not a lot on the zones again. I mean, again, the zones don't support the fixture difficulty this week. That is the problem with all this. If you're looking at numbers, you don't see where the chances are coming from.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's what will likely keep the stats depressed in this game week.
Yeah, we don't see where the chances are coming from. We do see spots of green, but we don't see a lot. I can't remember the last time I saw such a neutral set of fixture difficulties and things like that. Everything's very neutral. The one thing I would say, Kane could have had a couple of goals against Arsenal if it wasn't for Ramsdale. Kane is in form. Kane gets a chance, he'll score. I'm convinced he will score this week.
And he's still in form, I agree. Yeah.
For that reason, I'll say this. I think he's a good captain to shout this week. A good captain to shout. We'll come to the metric in a bit, but my gut feeling tells me he's a good captain to shout.
I mean, Fulham since the restart, they've conceded 3 goals in 5 since the restart. Their defense has improved. And I think that's I mean, and Spurs' attack hasn't been great. I think that's what we're showing here. NetXG 1.55 for Fulham and 1.07 for Spurs. So it likes Fulham a little bit more. The FDR differs in that regard.
Now, since 15, Fulham are worst. Since game week 15, Fulham are worst for big chances conceded at home. They've conceded 4 big chances per match.
Now, the flip side of that is, and this is something that that obviously won't be represented in the FDR, is Leno. Leno has 3.8 expected goals prevented in the last 6 at home. And that's why the Spurs net XG value is away here is so low. I think it's the Leno effect.
Right. Yeah. I'm just looking at this. The only thing is that Spurs big chances away is not that high. So yeah, again, that's probably how it balances it out. So interesting. I don't know. I'd bust my ass to bring a Spurs player in this week. Let's put it that way. I don't think I'd bust myself to bring anyone in. That last week was to bring players in for the double, right? I don't think I'd be worrying about that this week. I actually think that unless you've actually got something broken in your team, you probably want to roll, unless we get any double game week information.
Yeah. Try to
this
roll.
This moment in time, we don't know what's going on. If there's a double game week, you want 2 transfers to be able to move anyway.
Yeah.
So probably the number of views will be down this week because it tends to go every other week sometimes, our views, doesn't it? You get a big spike of views when everyone wants transfers and then just the usual gang when we don't. All right.
I feel so used as a content creator.
I feel abused as a content creator. Yeah, anyway. And that is the games done. So we've done all the games. So let's quickly look at the summaries there. So Liverpool and City are best with respect to attack, followed by Brentford, followed by Spurs, and then followed by Arsenal. That's the top 5. Defensively, we have Manchester City at 2.3, and then we have Bournemouth. As someone who likes Forest, that's fucking awful. Second with
third best
+2 for defence for Bournemouth. Fucking hell, Forest must be bad away from home. Good God, must have like the equivalent of putting 11 wheelie bins on the pitch if they've got a bloody if Bournemouth have a +2 fixture difficulty for defence. But that's it, really. You know, who else we got? West Ham 1.3 away at home to Everton. Well, both of them are bad. Arsenal's got a slightly positive against Newcastle against Palace, and Arsenal against Manchester United. Long range, I've changed it. Instead of going 1 week in advance, now I've gone to next 5. I'm actually just calling it next 5. So that's something else I've played with. And looking at that, look at the greens. Always look at the greens, guys. 1 hour 3 on the pod. The best teams with best fixture difficulties going forwards are Manchester City, Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Newcastle, Brentford, and Brighton. They're your 6. Spurs, maybe not, but Kane is still doing Kane things. And let's face it, what else can we spend our money on right now up front?
Nothing. Keep it in the bank. Nothing. Save it for a rainy day.
Defensively, Arsenal sitting at the top. This is why I think Arsenal defence is probably needed from my perspective. Manchester City. Spurs as well, about the same. Notice Manchester City's numbers are depressed. I think that might be a continuing thing.
Really quickly on Manchester City, because there'll be a lot of talk about Haaland's numbers and how they've dropped off a cliff and all of that. When you only touch the ball about 9 times a game, or on average, 7 to 9 times a game, when you don't score, your stats are by nature going to be non-existent.
Yeah. That's so fair.
That's just how it's going to be with Haaland.
Yeah. No, I know.
He can still score a hat trick.
Correct. He can.
And probably will against Spurs.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It'd be an interesting captain. It might be a little bit more interesting captaincy this week. It probably won't, because everyone will just herd onto him. But you can, I think, I'm not saying I'm going to go against him either. But what I am saying is that from my perspective, his numbers are nowhere near as good as they used to, as they were. And this is not just 1 week now. This is over a 6 or 7 week period, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, his numbers are not as good. All right, zonals, as we've said, a real heap of nothing, quite frankly. I haven't seen these zonals as low as this in a long time. The only ones which really stand out to me are Manchester City, as I've said, in down the middle, and Leeds. And a bit of Brighton here and there. Yeah, so those are your Rodrigo picks.
So we've mentioned these players, right? We have Kaoru Mitoma, Brighton on the left. Rodrigo leads down the center, and obviously Haaland and De Bruyne for Manchester City.
Yeah, that's about it.
That's it. It's going to be, brace yourselves. It's going to be a rough one. This is not a fun game week.
Right. So we'll go to the captaincy metric in a minute, but do you want to just give the old appeal for likes, helps, goodness knows what else, and this, that?
Yeah, you know, thank you. There are, 44 of you. I think we got up to 47 at one point. So if you are in the chat, help us. Is that good enough? Just absolutely. Hit that like for us. Smash us. The 27 of you did have done so already. Last time we asked for it at the beginning of the show, and all of you just went in there and did it. So thank you for that. Thank you for being here. The chat has been really good as well. So we appreciate all of you and all of your time. Thank you for spending your time with us.
And we also appreciate you, all you haulers, and you know who you are. Super haulers, Harbour Boy, Daddy Bot, Greenback Golf, Tahir, FPL Robbie, haulers, Terse, Catherine, Dom, Claire, FPL DG Boy, Akshay, C, it's Connor, Lindsay, Thravindra, the Mares, Mr. Mares. I share your pain, mate. Fancy football, what's that? Casuals, Tom, Gorsuch Blonde. What's that? I can't read that. Is that Scotters? Yes, it's FPL. Scotters, Donny, FPL Mike Alpen, Jack, Nehal, Kevin from South Africa, FPL Craig, and our mate Dredd, who appeared on a Twitter video at the FPL meets last week in London, absolutely loving life. I honestly, if you ever get the opportunity to come to London, Gabe, for one of these FPL meets, just find Dredd, because the guy is an absolute legend. I absolutely love him. And if you don't follow him on Twitter, go and follow FPL Dredd, because he's just such a nice guy. He loves life.
One of these days, Mariners, we'll make it happen. I'll get myself across that little pond.
You've got to get yourself there. If not, we'll have to do we'll come across to Phoenix and do a meet there.
Okay.
Right, let's have a look at the captain metric and see what it says. I told you it would throw a curveball, and it has. It's thrown Kane out. And look where Haaland is. He is nowhere. The numbers all of a sudden have gone against Haaland.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden. And it's like his big load of returns at the start of the season have now fallen off the end of the list with respect to the number of matches we go back on. So Haaland is nowhere to be seen. And the last time a player dropped like a stone, it was Salah. And he stayed down there, although he's now crept back up a little bit. But yeah, very odd. Salah over Haaland this week, if you were looking at it. Kane top, right? I have to say, I did have to check the numbers, but Kane's last 6 minutes, top. The one thing about Harry Kane is he plays 90 minutes, right? 92 for Halls. Remember, 100 is best. 96 for returns, 92 for points. Your NetXG, it likes. 90, mm. There's a NetXG it likes. I think it did anyway, unless that number's wrong. I think it's right. Fixture difficulty, 88. Anytime returns, 98. Expected, 98. Zonals is that. I think the NetXG actually takes into account, and in fact, I'll tell you it does, the NetXG takes into account his ownership, his involvement. That's why it's changed slightly. Yeah, he's top. Odegaard, stats second. Odegaard now.
Another
player who has really come to the fore now. And if nothing else, if you don't use this metric for picking your captain, use it for picking your players. If you don't own Odegaard, I think we've got to be on him.
I think he's priority number one for that fourth midfield spot, fifth midfield spot.
Yeah. Salah, 91. Salah there, 91. Tony, 90. I'll tell you what. I'm telling you now, I know this metric. If that minutes could put Tony top. That minutes could put Tony top. Tony is a good captaincy shout this week. A good captaincy shout.
That's interesting.
Trippier sat there at 90. He's just solid. The only defensive option for a captaincy right now. But then we come to Haaland. Haaland's minutes are down 70. They're improving, right? If you change Haaland's minutes to 94, the same as Kane, he is not top. He is not top. In the past, he has been top.
Right.
If you then look at his hauls and his returns and his points, and I've put the red box around it so that everybody can see on the screen, 64, 64, 68. He's not in form. He is not in form. Now, can he change? Of course he can. Will he change before this game week? Possibly before we get to our deadline? He could definitely change, because if he scores a hat-trick tonight and his minutes are 94, he's back top. That's where we are. He is a big haul away from jumping back up.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the hauls, Kane and Salah, they both have two hauls in the last six, and I know this is the last six data here as referenced there, and Odegaard has three hauls in the last six. So if Haaland jumps back into that conversation, then you could see him, and that's kind of why that's why he's this auto captain, because regardless of the stats, it would never surprise you if he got a hat trick.
That's exactly the point, and that's where the game week predictions sit. Look, 98, 100, 100, 99. Across, if you look further across, fixture difficulty 98, anytime return 100, expected points 100, zonal involvement 99. Yeah, it points to a Haaland captaincy. If you're looking at past, you avoid Haaland. If you're looking at recent past, you avoid Haaland. If you're looking at present, or if you're looking at predictions, you go Haaland.
So I have a question for you.
The big issue we've got here is Haaland's ownership. It's just potential suicide going against him with a home game against Wolves with a positive fixture difficulty. Yeah. That's why I like this metric, because I can put Kane on this screen and then Captain Haaland and then gloat. Works because it doesn't hurt me.
Exactly. You know, Teacher mentions here in the chat Trippier captain for a 9-pointer, and I don't think that's a bad conversation. Like, he seems like the safe captain. He's 100 percentile on returns, so that adds safety that he's not going to blank on you if you look, and he's 92nd, so he's had two hauls in the past six, just like Kane and Salah have. Except he just returns more consistently. So you could make an argument that for Trippier this game week.
I would make an argument for Trippier more at home than I would away, if I'm honest with you. And I think that's why. But I mean, he is clearly consistent now. He is the only defender of any consequence who is worth. There are other defenders in this metric that are nowhere to be seen. Mm-hmm. Nowhere to be seen. Fixture difficulty for Liverpool. For their defence is the basic second bottom now for defence, Liverpool's defence. you know, just awful. So our usual suspects of, you know, when you used to see Trent up there on the metrics, that's the thing of the past right now, and it'll take at least six game weeks for that to change, in my view. So no, it's an interesting topic, but look, Haaland is probably still going to be massively captained this week, massively captained.
Yeah.
But what I'm making a point of here is I genuinely think now this metric's going to go away from doing its usual, from doing what it's done for some time. I think now we're going to see some different captains pop up for a few weeks. I think
maybe even
a few ultra differentials. So if you fancy it, why not? But I have to say, I mean, owning Haaland is one thing. If he's up at 180% or something like that, and you just own him, you're still going to take a load of pain, right?
Yeah. I don't like owning players to hurt me. So that was another reason to triple captain Haaland, even though this game.
Yeah, but he's going to hurt you another week, though, isn't he? That's the problem. Yeah. That's the thing with this triple captain. Whether you wanted this week or 23, because I think a load more people will unload triple captain in 23, but maybe not now. They might hold it now, because if he's not informed by the time we get to 23, then people might actually go, I might play it on Rashford. That wouldn't be a bad idea if they get a double game week. I think Rashford might be a shout, but there we go. So yeah, so that's the content for today. 1 hour 16. That was nice and quick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's good job that there was a lot of shit fixtures which you didn't need to talk about, really.
Basically.
So anyway, have we got any questions before we wrap up?
We have a few here that I've started, and if you're thinking of questions, you have some dilemmas, just throw them in there in the chat. We'll star them and get to them momentarily here. First one we got here, FPL Sandwich. I'm not taking out Fulham assets yet because they're likely to play. Oh, you've already covered this one.
Yeah.
Ferguson one you covered. Bruno G. FPL teacher, I own Ward and Leno. I don't know who to field.
Ward or Leno?
Ward or Leno.
Where are you with your numbers?
I mean, Leno at home versus Spurs. I think Ward.
You think Ward?
Based on the numbers, based on what we've talked about today, I think in order for Leno to... I think Leno would have to come up big with saves, which he has done at home. So,
right. I'm going to look at my goalkeeper algorithm, see what it throws out. I'll go with what it says here. Ward or Leno, who's the first one appears? The next to each other. That's how tight that one is.
It's really tough.
Yeah, 1 week. Oh, in fact, they're equal. They're both equal. In fact, maybe what if I actually take the decimal points away, it's Ward. I just may put a decimal point, it's Ward. So yeah, very, very tight indeed, I would say.
Okay. Let's see. We have a question from Don Black Dragon here from our Discord. If Liverpool double in Game Week 21, other than Salah and Darwin, is there any other Liverpool attacking option? Gakpo as your fifth mid, Trent as your fourth defender.
I think that was a question from last week, actually, oddly enough.
Is that last week?
In any case, they probably won't double it. It won't be announced now, so they're not going to double in 21, because so that's not going to happen. But is there any Liverpool assets we want? The answer to that, I think, isn't. Quite frankly, right now, no.
I'll say I think Gakpo is interesting. Throw Gakpo on the watch.
He is, but bear in mind, you've got to then uproot your existing midfield. Who are you going to take out your midfield right now for him? If it was a forward, of course, I get it. But he's not. He's a midfielder.
I'd take Mahrez.
Oh, well, yeah, you own him, though. You're a fool. You should never have owned him. It's your own stupid fault. I mean, yeah, it's because you've got a slot. But I mean, there's not many people went down that route.
No, that's going to be Odegaard, and I'd rather have Gakpo than Salah, for example.
That could hurt us again, though, right? That could really hurt. That could hurt me, because you watch him haul tomorrow. But look, from my perspective, look, I'm probably as, like I say, as template as it comes when it comes to midfield, to the team right now at 91% template. What a load of shit that is. But, you know, who am I going to take out? KDB, no. Martinelli, no. Andreas, no. Almiron, no. Rashford, no. None of that bracket. Why would I want to take any of those players out right now for Gakpo? I just don't see it. No. So I just think Liverpool are not really in the conversation at the moment. It's very strange. It's a very strange time with FPL when Liverpool are not in a conversation. But yeah, we had this the other year where Liverpool defence were not in the conversation, but the attack were. Mm-hmm. But now they're not in the conversation at all. And as I say, for the first time in ages, I don't have to hide behind my sofa every time Liverpool play if I don't own someone like Salah.
Yeah.
Very odd, isn't it? Very odd. Very odd time.
Yeah. So we have one, and then there are a few new ones here in the live chat, but here's a FPL Jones bloke. Leno, just an interesting data point there. Leno has two less points than Pope since game week 17. Bonus magnet. He really does. He's been playing out of his mind, especially since the restart, but since game week 17, like you said. Let's see. Here we go. FPL teacher. Ward or Leno, we just covered that. Mike Halpin. Almiron or March? Oof.
Almiron or March? Yeah, I mean, look, I've not seen a lot of, I've seen March's numbers. Now, again, at this moment in time, the player I called out last week, I thought was Gross. I thought Gross was the player on which is sort of like popping up within the statistics. But, you know, March with his returns is, you know, last week maybe comes into the conversation. At this moment in time, though, I think I would still just give Almiron another week or two. That's basically where I am. Until I get a double game week announcement, until I find out where these double game weeks start to go, I'm probably going to do nothing. I think nothing is the call, unless you've got something broke.
Yeah, I don't know if he means to start.
Well, if he means to start,
or to bring in.
What do our fixture difficulties state? If he means to start, what? Let's have a quick look. Hang on. Let me move that back.
Let's go back. Newcastle, 0.9. Not much there on 2.8 on the right, 1.8 in the center. So not very good kind of in the half space where he plays. Newcastle, 1.61 net XG. So it's so not great.
Zonal support. March is on the left, right?
March is on the right.
He's placed down the right. He doesn't support him then. So
and that's why, again, that's another shout for Mitoma. If you're thinking March or Mitoma, I much prefer Mitoma. He's just a better player.
Yeah, there we go. So, okay. But I meant to say Newcastle, it doesn't really, it's not really falling over itself for Newcastle either, is it?
No, it's not. So yeah, I would prefer the Brighton player, and I would go with Mitoma over March.
Okay.
Next question from Connor Hunt. Another goalkeeper question: Kepa or Pickford? Everton and Poole are both shite. No doubt about that.
Kepa or Pickford? Right. This week.
Pickford. Go Pickford. I don't know.
This week, Kepa. And I just think, again, probably for saves more than anything.
Pickford might not get you the saves, but West Ham can't score.
West Ham, I mean, they're both away, aren't they?
But yeah, they're both away.
I'm just looking at this metric. I just think that, you know, I tend to follow it for goalkeepers. It only looks at certain aspects, but
so you know. I mean, yeah, Chelsea minus 3.3 for defense, Everton minus 0.6 for defense.
Yeah,
Pickford.
All right, Pickford then. Right,
next. FPL teacher, question two. Are there any tactical differentials?
I should really listen to my own data, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should. Are there any tactical differentials worth bringing up? I think the one, especially as highlighted by the zonal matchups here, the one to really bring up is Kaoru Mitoma. We've been talking about, FPL teacher is the first one that I know that shouted out the kid, Kaoru Mitoma. So I know you've been on him for a long time. Other than that, like tactical differentials, there's not much in terms of the matchups themselves. Leeds down the center, maybe Rodrigo, maybe another one to mention that we talked about today. So those are a couple. Akshay comes in with a question. Martial has been frustrating, but I still feel he could come good. Worth holding on till double game week 23 for you, Mariner?
No, I think he's fucking awful. It's like watching paint dry. Yeah. If you haven't got any, if you've got any fires to fight, by all means hold him. But I mean, if you're sitting with two transfers, if you doubt you are, then I might move him on. But the thing is, we don't know what's happening with this double game week, do we? Right?
We don't know this yet.
Problem. I'm not even sure he's going to play because they've got Wank Wouthorst is with them. Sorry, did I just say that? Yeah, I did.
Woot Wankhorst.
I mean, look, he might turn into a monster now. He's at Manchester United instead of at Burnley. I mean, look, he showed what he did in the World Cup, right, when he came on. But I'm not sure whether he's just going to be an impact player, right? I'm not sure he's sort of like a throw-on late Martial. But Martial's minutes will definitely suffer, I think, on the back of him.
And they're already not great. So
yeah,
I would move him, especially. There are other options up front these days, so there are many places you could go from Martial. So I would probably do that. FPL teacher, question three: what's the conversation officially around Bruno?
Officially?
Yep, your official conversation, Mariner, as a content creator.
As a content creator, I'm officially interested.
You are interested. I'm not interested.
Yeah, I just think he's making the right noises. And sometimes with Bruno, he's a bit of a moody fucker, in my view. He strikes me as being a bit petulant, a bit moody. If things aren't going right, then he's a real... when things go badly, they go really badly. You can see him on the pitch, walks around, like this all the time. He strikes me as, like most of that team right now, the tails are up. Now, you know, he's just scored in the derby, albeit he shouldn't have scored, should he? Let's face it, he shouldn't have counted.
Bullshit.
But he scored. That's only going to be positive for him as well. Our mate Wouthorst, we can call him that. We can call him anything. Call him anything we want. Content creators, right?
You just can't call him. No, never mind.
Because we're content creators. We can call him whatever we want. Yeah. Our mate, Weghorst, right? That could benefit Bruno for his assists as well if he decides to start popping up with some headers. What am I going to do with my money if KDB's out? I've got nothing else to spend it on. Bruno, double game week, Bruno Rashford, boom!
Not going to happen. No, I'm on the other side of this fence. Rashford isn't obvious, right? You get Rashford. I'm not spending two out of my five midfield spots on United players, and I'm not spending 20% of my budget on United players. So it's just too much.
Shut up. There you go. I'm crying out loud. What do you know? I mean, no disrespect, but bloody Bruno is an obvious pick. If there's a double game week and a decent double game week, Bruno is an obvious pick. With Rashford, could be absolute gold dust. I mean, let's face it, they nearly scored the same goal. If both of them could have scored that goal, Rashford was off that goal, yeah, and into the play. But yeah, that's another story.
Yeah. So, yeah, not for me. Too much. Too much United. That's too much.
I may. I'll be tripling on them. I'll be on three. Soon.
We'll see how the double. We'll see how the doubles end. We need to figure out.
If that double comes in 22, it's going to be a juicy double, isn't it? I can't remember what it was.
23, I think it is. But
22, 23,
something like that.
Juicy, right? Yeah. I'm sure it was. Again, I'm a bit out of the way. Anyway, so as Colm says, you know, he doesn't come here to net that hole to see me sitting on the fence. No, I don't get splinters up my ass.
No.
No, you get a real point. Right, okay. Any others? What else we got?
I think that's it. We got some United love in the chat. Rightly so. Hey, congratulations. Despite the fact that was a bullshit goal, United were deserved winners of that game. No doubt about that.
You actually said you were going to rant about Manchester United pre-show, and do you know what? You haven't.
No,
apart from it's a bullshit goal. It wasn't.
Yeah, it was a bullshit goal. No, I don't. I have no rant for Manchester United. I have a minor internal rant for some fans that try to make the case that it was a goal. I mean, it was a goal that it wasn't offside. It was fucking offside. Just take it. You got the call, whatever. And you deserve to win the game. But don't try to convince me that wasn't offside. Give me a fucking break. So that's it. That's just the mini rant.
I mean, look, as a football fan, you always say what goes around comes around, right?
Yeah.
You know, I just think it was, I think, and I mean, deep down, City fans will probably all be saying, I half expected we could lose that game. Manchester United now are back, without a doubt. And this is why I'm quite hot on them now from FPL perspective. I see the right body signals. I hear the right noises. Mm-hmm. I see assets coming into form or potentially coming into form. And let's face it, you know, Bruno is not just a goal threat. He's an assist threat. And if you've got players like Rashford who are putting all sorts of things away from all angles, that's only good for Bruno as well. And that's why I like the idea. I don't like the Martial pick now. I don't like it. And I think if I was doubling up on Manchester United attack, I genuinely think it's Bruno and Rashford. Now, there's talk, Anthony, but I don't know. I mean, I know Late Riser, I think, has mentioned Anthony before now, but I didn't see an awful lot. I don't see an awful lot from him when I watch him, so although I don't watch him much, but I just think tried and tested here. I think it's a Bruno time, particularly if we can't find anything else to spend our money on in midfield, because I think we maybe not, particularly, you know, KDB. If KDB's fit, I think he's fairly obvious right now. There is an argument to go hokey, pokey, pokey, hokey,
yeah,
and jump from one to the other. But that's using transfers, and I wouldn't normally do that.
Yeah. We did have one more question pop up here, so we can give this one a shout from Ujan Ghosh. Have Mount, should I hold this week and move to two free transfers next week or move to an Arsenal attacker this week? Have Martinelli already. I'd say just do Mount to Odegaard and be done with it.
I mean, you're going to want to own Odegaard before 23 if you've got. But the thing is, he's only got. I just think not knowing. I'm coming from this a different angle.
Mm.
This is all on whether we get a double game week announcement or not.
Yeah, you.
And I think if we don't get a double game week announcement this week, you know, I mean, can Mount score against Liverpool? Absolutely. Absolutely, he can score against Liverpool because Liverpool is shit defensively. So yes, he can score. I would hold, and I would play him, and I would on that basis. If I don't know what's happening, I will do nothing. If in doubt, do now. That's the saying for this week.
There you go.
Good God. Here we go. Look, I only come on here for abuse. This is what you get as a content creator.
Mike. Last week, Son. This week, Bruno. How about next week, Chris?
I'll get it right one week, Mike. I will get it right one week. I will, honest. Right, that's it. Let's get our asses out of here. I've got to go to work. You've got to go to bed. No, you haven't. What's mid? No. What time is it?
It is quarter to five.
You're not in Nima's time zone. You've still got the evening to look forward to.
I'm gonna head out to happy hour soon here.
Happy hour? You going to the pub?
Sure.
Do you know what? I haven't had a drink in 304 days.
Wow.
304 days.
That's madness. Good for you. Good for you. Yeah.
It's amazing what heart attack does for you.
Yeah, exactly.
I think if I had had a heart attack, I'd still have been drinking. I think there would be a few restocks of the wine fridge would have occurred by now if I hadn't had a heart attack. But anyway, there we go. Anyway, enough said. Right, shall we go?
Yes.
I think we don't need to say much else. Thank you very much, guys. if you dare. Oh God.
Oh, it's true. You got from
last week. Don't give me this bullshit, bloody gooners.
But that was 2 weeks ago. You recommended them. You went from Havertz to Son to fucking Bruno.
As I said, I will get it right 1 week. I'm entitled to. We're all entitled to things. I mean, for crying out loud, you've been bloody. How many times have you been tortured by Harvey Barnes over the years? It won't get you this year, probably.
No, I'm just being tortured by Mars. Here, I'm going to go do a dread in here by hitting the pub. So let's get out of here.
Go do a dread. Yeah, go do a dread. Whoops. We put it up twice, even just to enjoy it even
so
more.
So nice. Put it up twice.
All righty ho. Yeah, have a good game week, guys. Green arrows, please. What else to say? If you haven't already given the stream a like, please leave some comments as well. If you really like us, subscribe. And if you really, really, really like us and you want to get more of this data, which Gabe and I spend all our bloody lives on these days, then please become a hauler and show us some love, as Dredd would say. And apart from that, I think it's time to go. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.